So this morning, church, I'd like to focus us on 100 years. I want to take us back for just a moment as we think about the past 100 years, what that has meant to Southlake, that it all started with one mission. I mean, one church mission. It was a little storefront in Gary, Indiana, and it was failing. It wasn't working. But through that, we've been a church that has been in three different buildings, in two different communities, with 20 pastors and thousands of congregants. I spent some time this week looking over some numbers that, thankfully, because of our denomination, we can track these things. And so you might find these interesting. In the past 100 years, we have had 1,700 members in the church. Those members have given just a little over $20 million in the past 100 years. As we look to our children, when we have VBSs, we've had a little over 7,000 children attend our VBSs. We have raised $1.1 million for our global missions. We have given $300,000 to what we call pensions and benefits to our retired pastors. We've given a little over $800,000 to our district and a little over $400,000 to Olivet Nazarene University. That is who Southlake is. This is what we've done over the past year, 100 years, that it's not just about today, but it's about what we're doing long term. And I hope you see you've had an impact in generations. You've had an impact around the globe right here from Lake County. But all of this didn't happen without a vision and a plan from God. Our vision right now is embedded within the current sermon series, Go, the Next 100 Years. This series is designed to focus us on what we need to do to ensure that the church is here 100 years from now. Over the past several weeks, we've been building the foundation of the church for the generations to come. And it all begins with one simple word, go. I want to read the Great Commission as found in Matthew 28. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This is the future of the church. Christians who follow the Great Commission. Christians who answer the call. But I have to speak to a reality this morning. We do have a problem. Only 30% of churches in this country disciple. Our Lord and Savior tells us to go and make disciples of all the nations, and yet only 30% of the churches are doing that. That's by self-admission. It's not a metric either of how well they're doing it. It just simply says that, well, we're doing something. This has radical results. I want you to understand for a second that churches fail when they don't follow the Great Commission, meaning that they share the gospel and they make disciples. I read an article this week. I'd like to read a passage out of it from 2016. It says, "Today, there are less than half the churches in America than there were 100 years ago." This is just one of the startling statistics that reflect the state of the church in America. Today, there is no doubt that Christianity in America is changing, and we will need to adapt along with it. There are 250,000 Protestant churches in America, and 80% of them have no growth in attendance, or they're showing a decline. More than 4,000 churches are forced to close their doors every year because 3,500 people are leaving the church every day. Most of this decline has taken place since 1950, with a full third of our churches closing the doors for good. I also read from a gentleman by the name of Ed Stetzer. Ed is a professor and theologian and very well respected in Christianity today. And he writes this: I spent several years in full-time research and observation of the North American church. I conclude that the church has lost its influence because it has forgotten its mission. I have seen churches across North America fighting over preferences and drawing battle lines over issues that don't matter while the world and the surrounding communities are dying without Christ. Now, I don't want to dampen the mood today. It's not my goal, but we have to recognize something. If we're going to be here 100 years from now, if we're going to be a healthy, thriving church, then we have to be intentional about what we're doing. So many churches today are not. So we have to ask some hard questions. How are we going to ensure that Southlake will be here 100 years from now? How do we go and be a church for the next 100 years? Well, we have to be a loving church. Matthew 22 records the words of Jesus, and Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." We have to begin by loving God. The longevity of this church is measured by how it loves God. When we love God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind, then God will use this church in a mighty way. But more importantly, when we love God like this, with everything that we are, He loves us, He heals us, He transforms us, and He blesses us beyond our comprehension. But then we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. I am convinced that if we learn how to love like Christ, then we will begin to live like Christ. The world does not know what the love of God is. And we have an incredible, incredible time in our history to demonstrate to the world that we can love them the way that Jesus loves them. We will continue to be a church that loves people, and the lost will come to see that God's love is what they have been searching for by the way we demonstrate agape love to them. We also have to be a wise church. Paul records this in 2 Timothy. He says, "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." Church, we have to be Bible-based. We have to preach God's word. We cannot be disciples of Jesus Christ if we don't know the word of God. The reason we study the Bible is that so God can speak to us through his living word. Through our own study, we are healed, inspired, transformed, and ultimately we become wiser. As Paul points out, scripture is then useful in every situation. No longer crippled by fear or unsure of what to say or what to do, disciples know how and when to act. Disciples are bold because they have been equipped with love, wisdom, and their greatest resource, the Holy Spirit. So we have to be a wise church. We also have to be an obedient church. John records, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. A thriving church is a church that obeys God. It is not up to us to pick and choose the commandments God gives the church. We are blessed to be his children, and as children, we should do what our Father tells us. Disciples know that when we obey God, we can trust him and walk in no fear of the future. Disciples understand there is no burden in being obedient to God because they love God. We have to be an ascending church. We have been focused on Matthew's account of the Great Commission through this whole series, but it's embedded everywhere in Scripture. When you look, Luke records it in Acts 1. Luke says, and these are the words of Jesus, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Mark records the words of Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And Paul, most famously in Romans 10, says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. I want to pause there because God desires to save the world, everyone. That is our mission, to share the gospel with everyone. Paul points that out. When you look at this passage in Romans, he says to the Jew and to the Greek, that's the known world to Paul. He says to everyone. And he makes it a point to say the Lord, the same Lord, is Lord of all. We have one God. He desires to save us. Paul continues on. He says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are being sent? Just as is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. We are a church that shares the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world around us. It doesn't matter the person's sex, race, belief, or even their sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We love the lost like God loved us. And we share the gospel with them because they are lost. And we look forward to seeing them in eternity with us. And we have to be a praying church. Philippians 4 records this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. How blessed are we that we can come before the Creator of the universe, the author of life, and have a one-on-one conversation with him. We can pour out our praise, our sins, our emotions, our struggles, and our faith to him, knowing that he hears every word. We are a church that has mighty prayer in all occasions. I want to remind you of that. For those of you who don't know the story, I encourage you, if this is your first time here at South Lake, go right outside this door right here, and there's a poster, and it tells a story of how this church was formed. And then as you walk down the hallway on your way to lunch this afternoon, you can see our story. But it begins with two women in Glen Park who believed in the power of prayer, and they prayed. 100 years ago, there was a little mission in Gary in a place called Glen Park. It was a little storefront, and the mission was failing. They held their last service there. They were getting ready to close the doors, lock them for good. It's over. No evidence. No evidence that the church was going to continue. No evidence that anybody was ever going to come. And these two women went up to the front and they prayed. They prayed that God would hear their prayer. And God did. He answered them. He said to the women, "Are you going to tear down the only altar that exists in Glen Park?" They felt so convicted by what they heard, these two women went and purchased two plots of land in Glen Park. Because that's what you do. When everything's failing, you go and you buy land, right? The first plot of land was the location for our first church. And the other plot became the location for our second building. And I want to point out something in that. I want you to really hear the faith of these women. They bought two plots. You see, most people wouldn't go out and buy the first plot. But they bought the first plot of land to build the first church, and then God spoke to them, and they were so convicted in their faith that they bought a second plot, so when they expand, they have somewhere to go. Because that's what you do when a mission's failing. Do you trust in the world and what you see, or do you trust in your God? We are in this building today because these two women had great faith and prayed to the God they believed in, and He answered them. I want to share another story with you this morning, story of the power of prayer. In 1940, Professor J. Edwin Orr of Wheaton University led a group of theologian students to England, where they visited sites of great revivals. One of their stops was at the Epworth Rectory. The rectory now serves as a Methodist museum, but it was formerly the home of John Wesley, the famous reformer who led a wave of spiritual renewal in the 1700s and who founded the Methodist movement and who the Church of the Nazarene develops its theology from. As a man of prayer, John Wesley interceded for revival to sweep through England and spread to America. Dr. Orr pointed two worn places on the carpet next to Wesley's bed where John Wesley knelt for hours in prayer each day, crying out for revival. And, as history tells us, that's exactly what happened. Heaven broke in and revival broke out. As the tour concluded, the students loaded the bus. After counting them, Dr. Orr noticed one student was missing. He returned to the house and eventually located the lost student in John Wesley's bedroom. Kneeling on the worn impressions where Wesley had fervently prayed for revival, the student was repeatedly pleading, "Do it again, Lord. Do it again. And would you do it again with me?" Placing his hand on the young man's shoulder, Dr. Orr said, "Son, it's time to leave. Everyone's on the bus." The student slowly rose. Then that young man joined the rest of his class, and through him, God did it again. God led a revival across the globe. You see, that young student was Billy Graham. Over his 55 years in ministry, Billy Graham preached the gospel to more than 215 million people in over 185 countries. God heard the prayers of John Wesley. He heard the prayers of Billy Graham, and he hears our prayers today. So we're going to pray for the next 100 years of this church and pray that God will use us, that he will do it again through South Lake. When we think of the type of prayers that John Wesley prayed, the type of prayers that Billy Graham prayed, the type of prayers that the two women that I just mentioned that they prayed, we imagine prayers that are passionate, prayers that are intentional, prayers that seek God, prayers that reveal the heart of the person who is calling out to God. So I'm going to step down here. It's in the spirit of the saints who have gone before us that we're going to pray together as a congregation. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to come forward and join me. But I want to point out a few things. First of all, this is a lengthy prayer. So if you have mobility issues, if you can't stand for a long time, it's okay. Just stay in place where you're at. But for those who can stand, come forward. We're going to spend some time in prayer. Too often in church, we're on schedules. We're looking to the next thing. We've got to get home to the game. We've got a lunch date at noon. This isn't about that. We're setting a tone here. I'm coming forward, and when I read this prayer, I'm going to turn around. And if you notice, everything behind me is empty. We've cleared the stage. It's not ours. It belongs to God. So we're going to pray to him. And we're going to spend time in prayer. So with that, if you can stand, I'm going to ask that you come forward and join me. And when we get everybody standing around me here, I'll begin to pray for the next 100 years. Would you bow your head with me? Father, we approach you with hearts full of worship. We lift up our voices in praise to you now, declaring that you are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. You alone are God and worthy of our praise. We honor you and glorify you for who you are, our creator, our sustainer, and our Redeemer. Father, we come to you in a spirit of repentance. We ask for your forgiveness both for sins of commission and sins of omission. We have fallen short of your glory, and we are in need of your mercy and grace. David writes in Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." We echo this prayer and ask for you to purify our hearts and minds. Help us to see ourselves as you see us and to turn us away from any sinful thought or action. Forgive us for the times when we have not loved you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Forgive us for the times when we failed to love our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive us for the times when we have turned a blind eye to injustice and oppression. Help us to see the world through your eyes eyes that are full of love and compassion. Father, our mission for the next 100 years is to fill the Great Commission. We submit to you and we honor the call of your Son when he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." We recognize that it is not us that builds this church. It is you who builds this church, and this is your church. We thank you that we get to share in the joy of growing your kingdom. So build up our faith, strengthen our resolve, and grow us into what we are created for. Use this church as you will, not as we will. Do what only you can do. We claim this promise. The forces of hell will not overcome your church. Father, as we stand as a beacon of hope in Lake and Porter County, we recognize that the world grows more hostile to us. As the enemy feeds the world lies and deceives them of who you are, a great tension arises, a tension between the world and the church. We know that our protection and perseverance comes from you. So send a legion of angels to not only watch over this building, but watch over this congregation. Fight the battles we cannot see. Give us strength to endure the trials that lie ahead of us. And we claim the victory you have already promised us. Father, compel us as a church to proclaim your truth and preach your message. It won't always be easy, and it may not be convenient. But your words are life to all mankind. Use your word to rebuke us, correct us, and encourage us as we hold each other accountable. Strengthen, convict, and grow everyone who hears the preaching of your word. Protect this pulpit. May the truth always be proclaimed in this place, and may you shut the mouths of those who speak lies and deceit. Over the next 100 years, send those preachers who will proclaim not only your word, but the words that are specific to this church in time and need. Give those preachers courage, wisdom, and a passion and deep love for this congregation. Father, as a church who will help fulfill the Great Commission, equip us to make disciples who resemble your Son. Disciples who love you, who love their neighbors, who seek to do your will here on earth. Develop in us obedience, character, and an unwavering constitution. Equip us to follow you in every thought, word, and deed. Help us to recognize that your good and perfect will does not always look the way we think it should. Help us to trust you when we don't understand the path you have put us on. May all of your disciples desire to follow you all the days of their lives. Father, as we read your word, may the Holy Spirit be present with us. May he lead us into understanding of what you are revealing to each one of us. May your word penetrate our whole being, and may it heal us and transform us into a new creation. We seek not knowledge, but relationship as we open these pages. Open our eyes to see your love in every story, especially the tough ones. Protect us from our own biases, our desire to find only the answers we seek, or our fear of being wrong in our conclusions of who we think we should be. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, grant us wisdom that keeps us humble. Grant us courage that is demonstrated through acts of compassion, and develop in us a love like Christ that is rooted in your truth. Father, we seek to be a prayerful family where we come before you sharing all our life with you. Let us never forget that your Son cleared the temple in righteous anger because your house was meant to be a house of prayer. Help us not take that lightly. Direct us to our knees and seal our commitment and desire to be devoted to communing with you in prayer. Let our church be known as a house of prayer. Keep us awake, alert, and help us see where we are to pray. May our voices, lifted up in prayer, be a pleasing sound to you. May our prayers be bold, difficult, and reflect those of the saints who have gone on before us. Father, we commit to prioritizing our lives so that we can become more like your Son. May the Holy Spirit come alongside us, convict us, mold us, and make us to become more like Jesus. Give us a passion and zeal for the Bible and prayer. Feed us, strengthen us, and move us when necessary so that we are men and women of faith, full of grace and truth. Every single day, may we acknowledge our need for you and ask that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit, empowering us to live out our faith daily. As we grow in our faith, may we become holy and sanctified before you. We pray that we never become complacent or stagnant in our faith. Father, we pray for your church, that may we always see it as the body of Christ. Teach us how to live together in unity and fellowship with one another. Lead us into the paths of peace and righteousness so that we may be well-pleasing in your sight. Teach us how to love one another as Christ loved us, and keep us from doing anything outside of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather teach us humility of heart so that we consider ourselves before others. Help us to be slow to anger and quick to forgive as we abide in you and you in us. Enable us to walk worthy of the calling we have been called to and to live and work together in love and unity. Use us individually and collectively to reflect your love, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the gift of children and recognize that among today's young people, we have those who will become future leaders, teachers, pioneers, and those who may one day become influential in forging the future direction of our society and take up the responsibilities for leading families, organizations, nations, and your church. We pray that they be endowed with wisdom and grow up in the fear and love of who you are. May they walk in righteousness, truth, humility, and grace, and seek to live in peace with all men, without compromise and without prejudice. May they keep the word of God as their protective shield and be guarded against the lies, deceit, and envy of this fallen world. Direct and govern their steps, and may they be grounded in integrity, honesty, wisdom, and grace. Father, your word in Jeremiah 29 states that we are to seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for its welfare will be your welfare. For the next 100 years, may Southlake be a beacon of light in the midst of this dark world. May it be evident to those living in Lake and Porter counties that we love and care about the things that you love and care about. May our outreach not only feed the hungry and clothe the naked, may it glorify you and lead the lost to you. Help us to see beyond outward appearances and to recognize the dignity and worth of every person we encounter. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, empowering us to be your hands and feet in the world, bringing hope and healing wherever we go. We lift up Lake and Porter counties into your loving hands, praying for their well-being and prosperity. Help us to be agents of positive change, working together to build a community where all are valued, respected, and cared for. May our actions be guided by your love and motivated by a genuine desire to make a difference in the lives of those around us. Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit to boldly proclaim there is salvation in no one else but your Son, Jesus Christ. Keep us committed to sharing your salvation and your beautiful, wonderful, life-changing, eternal, altering name, compelling us to boldly speak your name. We thank you for calling us to be your ambassadors of your kingdom. We pray that you give us the boldness and courage to share the gospel with those around us. Help us to overcome any fears or doubts we may have. Open the hearts and minds of those we share the gospel with. May they receive your truth and be transformed by it. Give us the words to speak and the wisdom to know how to reach each person uniquely. May your Holy Spirit guide and empower us to be effective witnesses for you, shining your light in a dark world. Father, we pray for the lost. We live in such an age where people wander aimlessly to find something to give them meaning in life. What they seek, they do not find because they are not finding it in the true source of life, you. We desire that our friends, families, and neighbors would seek and find the truth of eternal life. We know that you have crafted each human being in their mother's womb, and that we are worth more than all the gold in this world to you. We know that we have infinite value and are precious in your sight. Help the lost to see this. Help them to find their identity. Help them to heal. Help them to find peace, and help them to find you. Father, we need you to pour out your spirit upon us and bring a revival in our hearts. We don't want to become complacent and numb to the realities of your kingdom. Renew our passion for you, Lord. In Joel 2, you promise, I will pour out my spirit on all people, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We call on your name and ask for your spirit to move in our lives and in our church. We pray for a revival that will spread throughout Lake and Porter counties and beyond, a revival that will bring healing, restoration, and salvation to those who are lost. Father, pour out your power and presence in a mighty rushing wind. Ignite our hearts with a renewed passion for you. Revive us with a fresh hunger for your word and a fervent desire to live in obedience to your truth. Raise up a new generation of devoted, spirit-filled leaders who will fearlessly lead your people back to the foundations of our faith. Equip your church with the gifts of the Spirit that we may minister to the lost and hurting with compassion, wisdom, and supernatural power. We long to see a sweeping revival that will transcend all denominational and cultural barriers. May the flames of Pentecost be rekindled in the hearts of believers worldwide. Let revival fires burn brightly, drawing untold multitudes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Revive us, O God, that we may be vessels of your transforming power, ambassadors of your redeeming love, and instruments of your eternal purpose. Father, in the spirit of the apostles, in the spirit of the saints, in the spirit of John Wesley, and the spirit of the two women who prayed for this church, and in the spirit of Billy Graham, do it again. Do it again with me. Do it again with us. And do it again with Southlake. For the glory of your name and for the advancement of your kingdom, we ask that you hear these prayers, and we ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And the entire church said, amen and amen. You may return to your seats. We're going to ask that you remain standing, and we are going to close in worship. So please make your way back to your pews. Church, in just a few moments, you're going to be released. We're going to go have a meal together. I encourage you. Talk about your faith. Talk about your memories. Talk about the future, because it's beautiful. You've been blessed with the amazing gift of salvation. You have an eternal life. And so when you exit, just go around to the back here, directly behind me. Just keep walking around, follow the smell, and he'll lead you right into our gym. So with that, if you would like to receive a blessing, would you hold out your hands like this? Southlake, as I look out, I see a beautiful family. A family that I'm privileged to be a part of. I love being your pastor. I love this church, and I love your hearts. You have an incredible faith that can transform the world. Go and share it. Contribute to the next 100 years of this church. God bless you all. We love you. We'll see you in back. Bye-bye.